You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. And again, we're getting closer to opening day. It's almost like it's a reality now. We're starting to get closer. Yeah, there are a couple of things that keep getting in the way and are still a bit of a concern, but as time goes on, it looks like we're going to actually see baseball in 2020. So there's a lot to be excited about, a lot of things to discuss today. On this episode, we're going to break down the Yankees' latest player who was tested positive for COVID-19. We're going to look at some positional breakdowns, and we're going to take a look at some important topics that are going to impact the Bronx Bombers as we move closer to opening day. Also, I have a very big announcement for you at the end of the show. It doesn't have to do with the show in itself, but it does have to deal with me. So I figured that this is my platform. This is the show that really has helped me gain viewers and listeners to the show. And I appreciate everybody taking time out of their busy schedules to listen in. So I figured that I would reward you guys with giving you my big announcement first before anybody else knows. So stay tuned for that at the end of the show. As always, interact with us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND and at Nick_Delahanty on Twitter. Again, find us on Facebook searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We are also live on Instagram. If you search up Delahanty Media, check out this show. Check out the other shows that we have available for you as well. And as always, subscribe, rate, and review our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Breaker, Stitcher, you name it, our show is there available for you. So there's a lot of outlets, and there can't be any excuses as to why you're not listening to the show. Any which way you can listen to it, we appreciate all the listens and the shares that we get, but make sure you go and subscribe and rate and review the show. That's very important to help our show grow and our brand grow. Let's get the ball rolling right away, and let's jump into the latest Yankee to come down with the COVID-19 virus, and that is star closer Aroldis Chapman. Chapman, the 32-year-old, was diagnosed at the end of last week. He has left the team facility, obviously, and he'll be in quarantine. Hopefully, he is okay. The Yankees say that he does show signs of symptoms, that he is hanging in there, but who knows how the virus is really going to impact him. As you already know, the Yankees had two prior positive tests before they even got to the Bronx, and that was DJ LeMahieu and Luis Cespedes. We're going to get into LeMahieu in just a little bit. But when you look at Chapman, yes, it's disappointing that he came down with the virus, and obviously it makes you realize that there are cases, there are people getting impacted, that the virus is not going to go away. This might be the first of many cases that are reported throughout Major League Baseball. Heck, this might be the first of many that may be included in the Yankees clubhouse. We just don't simply know. But what we do know is they're taking every precaution to not only get Chapman healthy, but to keep him quarantined so he can't impact others. And yeah, it stinks that you're probably not going to have your star closer for opening day. It's totally understandable. It's just like if he would have gotten hurt. But the finer line to this is, and you hate to think about baseball in a time like this because obviously the virus is the big part of our daily lives now. You know, things are changing due to it. People are social distancing because of it. Yeah, you have your people who are on the beach and think it can't impact them, but you still have that majority of people that are taking this seriously. And with major sports, you're trying to get back into play. They're definitely taking it seriously. And there are guys that have opted out because they're taking this very seriously and don't want it to impact themselves and their families. Obviously, the first concern is getting Chapman healthy, because before he's a baseball player, he's a human being. So you hope that he's okay and that he gets healthy. But as you're looking at it, and obviously we're a Yankees talk show, we're going to talk about how it impacts the team. It might not be long before they get Aroldis Chapman back. And here's why. Once Chapman's healthy and he passes his test and goes through all the protocols to get back, how long is it really going to take for him to be game ready? You know, it's not like he's a starting pitcher and you have to extend his innings and get his pitch count up. He's a one inning at most closer, possibly two in certain situations, but it might be a quick return to get him back into action. Yeah, obviously they're going to probably take their time with it because you don't want him getting hurt, but it could be a situation where you could see Chapman back sooner rather than later, and that would be a positive for the Yankees. The main thing is he has to test negative for the virus once it comes around, and he has to be healthy. You're not going to rush him back if he's still showing symptoms or anything like that. And the way the system is, you obviously can't do that. So for the time being, they're going to be without their closer. And the other way you have to look at it is the Yankees' bullpen is stacked. You look at the likes of Chad Green, Adam Ottavino, Zach Britton. They have the pieces to keep them in contention. And yeah, obviously having Chapman in a situation like this where your starters aren't really going to give you much length early on, it would be nice. But I think that if you're looking at it from a team aspect, losing Chapman hurts, but they have pieces that could fall into place and help out. Maybe a Jonathan Loaisiga slides into a bullpen role if they don't need him to be a starter. Or somebody who loses out on that fifth starter role or to fill in for Tanaka, like a Clark Schmidt. Or a Davey Garcia, or a Michael King, somebody who's shown flashes of being really good. Maybe put them in a situation where you give them 1 to 2 innings in certain places and you let them roll. There's a lot of ways the Yankees can mix and match this, and I think that they're going to use a lot of pitchers that they have on the 60-man summer camp roster. I think it's inevitable. I think that they're going to mix and match as best as they can, and they're going to be smart about it. They're going to try their best to keep these guys fresh because, obviously, the goal is to win deep into the season and to win a World Series. So in order to do that, you need those bullpen guys fresh. But for the meantime, Britton slides in as the closer. You move Canley, Otto, and you have all those guys you can move up, Green especially. And you're going to see them be used in different roles than they're accustomed to right now. But Britton has major league closer experience. Heck, if you put him on probably half or even more than half of the other teams in Major League Baseball, he's their closer. That's how good this guy is. And you can make the case that Canley and Green and Ottavino could be closers elsewhere too. They have that good of stuff. So in a position where they have depth, they could take their time with Chapman. And you just have to hope that as time goes on, your starters give you a little more length that you could utilize those bullpen guys well. It's going to be sticky. You know, nobody ever wished that Chapman would come down with the virus. But you have to make do. And like I said a couple minutes earlier, it's like an injury. So you just got to play it by ear and got to take it by stride. And you have to realize you're not in a marathon. You're in a sprint. So all 60 games do matter. So it'll be different. But the Yankees definitely have the pieces to manage for the time being. And you just hope that, number one, Chapman becomes healthy and that this doesn't impact him long term. And two, that he's able to return to the field and doesn't have any setbacks or anything that may hamper that. You hope to see Chapman on the mound and healthy. That's the main thing, and that's the main goal. And hopefully, as he battles through this virus, and again, I wish him the best, you simply hope that he can not only get better, but return to the field. Because I personally love watching Chapman. I know a lot of people feel the same way. So getting him back on the mound will definitely be a positive sign, whether it's now or a month from now. It all depends on how he recuperates from this virus, and hopefully it doesn't keep him out long term and that it's only a minor setback for him. Now, while we're on the topic of pitchers, it's very important to take a look at Masahiro Tanaka. And as we discussed, Tanaka gets hit by a line drive on a freak accident as he's throwing live BP to Giancarlo Stanton, 112 mile per hour line drive off the head. It was very scary to watch, but Tanaka, other than being diagnosed with a minor concussion, seems to be okay. He seems to be throwing and getting back into a little bit of a groove, and we don't know a timetable for Tanaka. The 31-year-old is coming up on a big year in terms of his career because he's in his contract year, so there is an importance for him to get on the mound and get healthy, but obviously, that's a very scary situation that you never wish on anybody. And from the outside of it, from looking at it from my perspective, and obviously I'm not at the stadium, I don't see him on an everyday basis, but what you see a guy that doesn't seem to be fazed by it, that seems to be okay with it. And I'm sure he's going to have some nerves getting back on the mound. It's a human thing. But I just feel like he is focused to the point where he wants to get back on the mound. He knows his importance to this team, and he knows that he has a lot to prove this year. Because let's face it, for him, the goal is to get that long-term contract. You're in the middle of your prime of your career. You want to get that big deal to kind of seal your fate as you look toward the second half of your Major League Baseball career. And when I was looking at this, you know, my first reaction when I saw the incident was, oh my Lord, this is bad. Tanaka's hurt. He is going to be out a very long time. But the signs are promising. And he might not be able to make his first start through the rotation, given the minor setback. But in any other year, it might have taken Tanaka weeks to get back. The Yankees might be in a position where he might only miss one or two starts and be able to get him back into the rotation. Here's why. Your starters aren't stretched out to the point where they're going to go 7 or 8 innings a start. You might only get 3 to 5 innings out of a starter. So if Tanaka's ready to give you 3 innings, or say 4 innings, you can slide him back in the rotation and just keep progressing as you go along. So maybe he gets you 9 outs his first start. He might get you another 3 outs the next start. Then you keep progressing as you go along and you see how he's doing. And you continue to stretch him out. So any other year would have been a little different. This year poses a different obstacle. So it's a matter of when the Yankees decide to put him in the rotation and how much can they really get out of him early on when he does in fact return. Because like I said before, the bullpen, they have a lot of good arms in that pen. They can mix and match, and they'll be able to get the outs that Tanaka can't get due to pitch count restraints or whatnot. But I expect him to be back sooner rather than later. I think all the signs, unless there's a setback, are pointing in the right direction. Everything you seem to hear is going in the right direction. It's just a matter of time before Tanaka gets on the mound again and starts throwing and gets back into his routine to get ready. I wouldn't expect him to be ready for the Yankees' first 5 games of the year. I think that they're going to hold him back, and if they do, they're going to use a fifth starter in some other way, shape, or form, or decide to go with a bullpen game, something that Aaron Boone kind of toyed around with last year. But there are a lot of ways the Yankees could go with this. Tanaka, I expect to be back very soon. If he was back for the team's second turn around the rotation, I wouldn't be surprised. And that's just a guess on my end, seeing how he's doing in the diagnosis of the actual injury. It wouldn't be a total surprise, especially given, like I said, pitchers aren't stretched out to go 6 or 7 innings early on. But I am very happy that Tanaka is healthy, and obviously I'll be doing a show sooner rather than later discussing how important I think he is to the Yankees and how I think that it's a no-brainer to keep him around long-term. But to see that he's okay and to see that he's kind of himself is a great sign. And I'm very happy about that. That's an ugly situation you never want to put anybody in, especially when a teammate's pitching to a teammate and that happens. But to see that he's okay and to see that we'll probably have Tanaka on the mound very soon is a very promising sign. And I'm very excited for it. I'm sure you guys are as well, because he has become a big piece to this Yankee organization. Now, as I pointed out the positives, obviously you have to look at the negatives too. And not really a negative, but you have to play manager here. And I love doing this because I'm a baseball geek, like you guys know. If Tanaka's unable to go for, say, 2 to 3 starts, who do you want in the rotation? Is it Clark Schmidt, Davey Garcia, Michael King, Jonathan Loaisiga? There's a lot of different options that the Yankees could go with. And my take, and I did a show a couple of weeks ago where I broke down the projected Yankees 30-man roster to start the year. I think that roster's wrong at this point, because you don't know with LeMahieu. You don't know with Sessa. You don't know with Chapman. It looks like you're not going to have Chapman. And now Tanaka, who knows how long he'll be out. So here's how I think the Yankees do address this and attack this. If you've watched any of the inter-squad games between the Yankees and the Bombers, you've seen Michael King and you've seen Schmidt and you've seen Garcia and you've seen these guys with lively arms and nasty stuff. What I think they personally do is I think they find a way to get Clark Schmidt on the roster and make him that kind of fifth starter and use him as the opener for a bullpen game. And here's how it would work out. Schmidt is probably ready to go 3 innings at most, right? The 24-year-old, I could get you 9 outs. Then you go to the bullpen. He'll essentially be your fifth starter. But I think for the time being, the Yankees would like to let him let loose early on in the game and just get those first 9 outs and set up the bullpen the rest of the way. And Schmidt's an interesting guy. I don't know how much you guys have really looked into him. A 24-year-old, they drafted him with their first-round pick in the 2017 Major League Draft. And mind you, this kid was due to have Tommy John surgery. So they knew this. And they still took a chance on him out of college, out of South Carolina, because of what they saw in him. They saw something. And we're seeing it now. He's facing the big league club in these scrimmages. And he's holding his own, and he's doing better than that. He's not even holding his own. He's flat out dominating some of these hitters. So I think he'll get the first crack at it. I think they love Garcia. I think they love King. But I think that they're going to give Schmidt the ball. It wouldn't surprise me if the other two or even somebody else gets that spot. But I would go with Schmidt. I would give him a chance to see what he can do because this is essentially like a tryout for him. And yeah, I get it. You're winning. You want to win games. It's not a marathon. It's a sprint to the finish line. I get that. But in a shortened season, all bets are off. You're going to see some funky things. Teams are going to do some crazy things as they mix and match trying to win games. And I think this is a great way for Aaron Boone and co. to kind of just see what this kid could do at the big stage and put him up against other teams and see if he could hold his own. Set you up for the future. Set you up for now. If he could hold his own, get you 9 to 12 outs, that's a big boost, especially out of the fifth spot in the rotation. So I think it's Schmidt. I love what I see from him. I love how smart he seems, how he studies the game. I think the influence of Gerrit Cole is going to help him tremendously. I just would go with Schmidt. I would give him the opportunity, especially given you don't know with Tanaka. Yeah, Tanaka may be ready. Who knows? But if he's not, Schmidt would be a safe bet in my mind to make that fifth start once you go to your five-man rotation. With off days, you could probably mix and match and use only a four-man for now. But I think the Yankees might be cautious with that, especially given the way the setup is with the lack of spring training and whatnot. So if they're going to go with anybody in the system, I would like to see Clark Schmidt because I think this kid could do damage at the big league level, even though he's never pitched an inning, not even an inning, at the AAA level. I think we talked enough about pitchers, at least for the first half of the show. Let's get into the offensive side of the ball. And I got to tell you, it amazes me that we just keep getting injury updates for this big fellow that we all know and love. And that's Aaron Judge. Judge has been dealing with a stiff neck that apparently happened when he slept funny on his neck. Aaron Boone continues to say that it's a minor thing. But we all know how minor things happen in Yankee land. I think we're all paranoid over how last year turned out and saw how many injuries there were. So I think that there's a concern from everybody. And I want to break down my thought process on the whole thing. Now, on our Twitter account, at Pinstripe Talk ND, it's never too late to plug that, I put a poll up and I said, how concerned are you about Aaron Judge's neck injury? And 57.1% of you said not concerned at all. And then there was about 28% that said mildly concerned. And then another 14% that said very concerned. I'm mildly concerned about this. And I can't even lie to you about that. And here's why. Knowing the injury updates and the injury history, we haven't seen a full season from Aaron Judge. He saw 155 games more than 2 years ago. And that seems like a very long time ago. That happened in 2017, and we all saw what he was able to do back then, but was limited to 112 games in 2018, was limited to 102 games in 2019. And I think that Yankee fans like myself are in the same boat. We just want to see this guy healthy and playing. Like, it's ridiculous how many injuries we've seen from Aaron Judge. Maybe it's bad luck. Maybe it's the fact that bigger guys like him and Giancarlo Stanton have a tougher time staying healthy due to their bodies. It could be a mix of both. Who knows? But the Yankees need this guy in the everyday lineup. So a stiff neck, hopefully it's just a stiff neck and it's not more. Hopefully he did sleep funny on it. I know if I sleep funny on my neck, I go to the chiropractor, I'm usually good within a day or two. The Yankees seem to be overly cautious, and I don't blame them. You're under 10 days away from opening day. You got to get him ready, but you got to get him healthy. But the time's ticking, too. In less than 10 days, the Yankees are going to be on the field in Washington against Max Scherzer. Is he going to be ready? Is he going to be physically ready? Or is this neck going to be something that keeps him out of the opening day lineup? We don't have the answers, but I will say I am mildly concerned about Judge, and his injury had passed is something that does scare me. I'd be lying if I said it didn't. This is a big year for him to prove something. If he could stay healthy, yeah, it's a 60-game slate, but play in 45 to 50 games and dominate the way that we've seen Judge be able to dominate, it'll go a long way in changing people's mindsets about him. Right now, the narrative is, oh, he can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field. He's good when he's healthy, but who knows how many games he'll be able to play. So it's a big narrative going into Yankees summer and their season. And hopefully, this is just a minor setback and doesn't lead to more issues for the big guy in right field. The Yankees need him. We all know they need him. It's a matter for him to stay healthy and on the field. And I mentioned this guy earlier, and that's DJ LeMahieu dealing with the COVID-19 virus. As per Aaron Boone, it seems like he's not showing any symptoms, so it's a little frustrating for him to be quarantined. We all know DJ loves to play the game. Just turned 32 the other day. But let's just play manager here. If you are Aaron Boone, who do you want starting at second base on opening day if you don't have LeMahieu? Now, you can narrow it down to two options. I think that the way the roster's going, I think that they both make the roster if LeMahieu's not ready to go. So you could look at Tyler Wade and Thairo Estrada. And Estrada has been hitting the ball really well in summer camp, really impressed a lot of people. The Yankees seem to be really high on him. They like him defensively. They like him offensively. But I do think that Aaron Boone will give the first nod to Tyler Wade, and here's why. I think the Yankees like his speed, his versatility defensively. But the problem with Wade is he hasn't been able to hit at the big league level. So it might only be a couple of games that he may be at without LeMahieu. But I think that Wade gets that first crack to prove, you know, I'm getting an opportunity. I want to make the most of that opportunity. And here's my chance. Here's what I'm going to go for. But I do think the time is ticking for Tyler Wade in New York. I get that people love him and like the personality. But I think that he's running out of chances here. If he can't hit at the big league level, he's going to be essentially useless for this Yankee team moving forward. And if you have a guy like Estrada who can both hit and play defense, he might lose his spot rather quickly. And it may even happen sooner rather than later. I think his speed is keeping him on the roster right now, but I do think that the Yankees see the potential in him and want him to break out. Maybe getting a couple of starts early in the year, get a couple of hits, get the confidence going, that might help him. That might show, you know, he's telling the world, hey, I'm here. I deserve a spot on this Yankees bench moving forward, and this is why. And he'll have the opportunity. So opportunity does present challenges for teams, and it does present opportunities for players that may be on the outside looking in or close to it. So it might become a battle who's going to play better, Estrada or Wade. And it might determine down the road who the Yankees keep for the postseason run. You know, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered when they're battling for a postseason spot or if they get there to the World Series. So that'll be very interesting to watch. Obviously, you want LeMahieu healthy. Hopefully, LeMahieu's back rather quickly. Who knows? At this point, you can't really predict the future. But this is one of the more interesting competitions that is brewing in Yankee camp. It's one that we didn't think we would have. And Estrada's making the most of his opportunity. You got to give the guy credit. He wants his spot. He's trying to earn it. So I do think they both will get an opportunity. I think they'll both get a chance. And like they say, the offensive guy is going to get the edge. And right now, you would think long-term, Estrada might be able to, I don't even want to say Wally Pipp because it's not a Wally Pipp type of situation, but take the spot from Tyler Wade as the backup utility guy. And yeah, his versatility and defense play a major role in that, but let's face it, the Yankees have a lot of outfield options, and they have a lot of versatility in their infield. So keeping a guy like Estrada who could play two to maybe three positions won't necessarily hurt them, especially if his bat is better than Wade. So that's something I would keep an eye on. That's a storyline that has been drawing my attention. But at the end of the day, if LeMahieu's not there on opening day, I think Wade gets the start, and he'll have to prove it because there's a lot on the line for Tyler Wade. Now, the final topic I want to get to on this show is Miguel Andujar. And we've seen him at multiple positions in summer camp. And let's face it, it was ugly. I mean, ugly watching him play right field. Now, if you're Aaron Boone, and I'm asking to our loyal listeners, I want you to answer at home. And if you want, tweet us your answers or send it on Facebook, whatever you want. I want to hear your answers on this. In a shortened 60-game season, do you seriously consider putting Miguel Andujar in the outfield to get him at bats? And I love Michael Kay. I love the approach that he took on this. And I have to agree with him. Absolutely not. Why is that? Yeah, his bat is great. Yeah, he put up monster numbers his rookie year. But in a shortened season, every single out counts. Every single game matters. There's more put on the line for each game than in a 162-game marathon stretch. So you can't afford to have Andujar in the outfield late in the game and botch a fly ball and that lose you the game. It's that simple. And yeah, he's going to see time at third base. I think Urshela gets the bulk of games at third, but they'll give him off days here and there. But you'll figure him in at third base. You'll figure him in at DH. I think that's 2 to 3 games a week. I think that's all you're going to see from Miguel Andujar. Yeah, injuries happen. Things happen. You might have to mix and match. But given the Yankees' state right now, and given the fact that you have Gardner, most likely Hicks, Judge, Tauchman, and eventually Stanton, I don't think there's any need to play Miguel Andujar in the outfield. And Michael Kay said it great. In a 162-game season, Andujar's probably in the minor leagues trying to find a spot in terms of defensive presence. You probably don't keep him on the roster. But in this situation, you keep him around because he's one of your better hitters and he could definitely help you on the offensive side of the ball. So the situation, like we said a bunch of times on this show, it really will dictate what the Yankees do. But I wouldn't trust Andujar in the outfield. I think he needs a lot of work in order to be that utility guy. And who knows? If he hits well and gets hot, who's to say that the Yankees don't need another infielder and use him as a trade chip to get Francisco Lindor or somebody else, for that matter? It could be anybody. It could be any position. Who knows with injuries and whatnot. So I think that Andujar is valuable. I think with the DH going to the National League, it adds to his value. But right now, I wouldn't risk playing him in the outfield. There's just too much on the line. There's just too much to gamble by doing that. It's just simple to me. I get everybody wants to see him in the lineup, and so do I. I love watching him hit. But defensively, he scares me out in left field. He scares me in right field. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of times he scares me at third base. I know that Urshela is probably not the player that Andujar is in terms of offense. But Urshela is an elite defender at third base. The metrics don't say it, but the guy could field among the best in the game at third base. And I want to keep that stability at third base. I think it's very important, especially given you're turning to Gleyber Torres at short, who has experience at shortstop. He's a homegrown shortstop, but could definitely use some work on the defensive side of the ball. Having two guys that are question marks on one side of the infield scares me. So having Urshela there definitely helps. But again, I think the at-bats are going to be there for Andujar. I just don't see a way that the Yankees take a risk, a serious risk, in putting him in the outfield and having such a defensive liability wherever they decide to plug him in on a given day. I promised you at the beginning of the show that I had some big news personally to provide you guys, and I am a man of my word. So as we wrap up today's show, obviously I want to thank everybody for tuning in. As always, we are excited for Yankees baseball. We're excited to get sports back into action, and we truly, truly appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to our show. We hope that the COVID-19 virus has not impacted you and your families, and that as we try to stop this virus, you continue to wear a mask and social distance. So hopefully we can all meet up at Yankee Stadium and hang out in the near future. But before I get into our social media plugs and remind you how to subscribe and rate and review our show, I would like to formally announce that I have accepted a contributor role as a writer for Keeping It Heel. If you guys follow me on social media, if you guys know me, you know I'm a big, big, big North Carolina basketball fan. I grew up bleeding Yankees pinstripes, somewhat kind of loving the Jets in a love-hate kind of way. I love them, they hate me type of thing. And also bleeding Carolina blue. I grew up with the likes of idolizing Michael Jordan, growing up watching Sean May and Tyler Hansbrough, Joel Berry, now Garrison Brooks. Guys like that have impacted my life in terms of my love for sports, and Carolina is just one of those places that will always be near and dear to my heart. And I finally have the opportunity to write some pretty cool articles that detail everything and anything in Tar Heels sports. And obviously, I'll continue to write for the Bronx Pinstripes team. I love writing for them. Shout out to Scott Reinen, Andrew Rotondi. You can name all the people at Bronx Pinstripes that are influential to me and do a great job on a daily basis to provide great content. I will still be writing there, but this is a new challenge that I'm bringing along with me, and I'm excited for the journey to begin. I hope you guys continue to not only listen to my podcast, but also check out my articles, because it does mean a lot to me, and there is some love that goes into all this. I love doing the podcast, love talking about Yankees baseball. The Let's Debate podcast with my cousin Kyle, I love talking sports. He's one of my favorite people to discuss sports with. We talk about anything and anything in the world of sports together. And then writing for Bronx Pinstripes connects me even more to the Yankees. And now Keeping It Heel ties me in to Chapel Hill and the Tar Heel Athletics. So with that being said, I'll leave it at that. Again, subscribe, rate, and review our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, you name it. Our show is there available for you. Hit us up on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast, also available on Instagram by going to Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. We're one step closer to opening day. Can't wait for that night. Until then, I'm Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.